Father, be exalted in this talk. People, give us ears to hear and give me a mouth to speak for you to receive all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we know today we commemorated Tu B'Shvat, which starts Sunday night. And I wanted to talk about this because it's important for us as a community. As Shirley said to us, God cares about trees. And she said, when even when people went into warfare, you couldn't abuse nature for your own military gain. You had to be sensitive because basically the idea is once the war is over, people still got to eat. So God was sensitive to these things. But it's interesting is that a lot with God is that he has his reasons that he gives in the scriptures, but then there's also practical reasons. And I'll give you one example. For instance, when a Jewish boy is born, he can't be, in the hospital today, you want to circumcise the child. And they'll circumcise that child on the first day. But if you wait until the eighth day, even though it's commanded by God, it's also when the blood can coagulate. So it makes sense that you do such a nasty incision when the blood can actually stop itself from overflowing. So God, it's the spiritual typically has some sort of physical good consequence to it. So this also applies to us and trees. So we'll just jump straight into it. If I get the first slide, please. So the goal here is for us to bear the best fruit. Now we know we're commanded to bear fruit. But anything, as I've said a lot, I want Ohev to do well, for us to do excellently, to do our best. If you're going to work hard, you might as well work to be the best. Not in the sense of competition, but just if God has given us breath, let's do the best we can. Because that gives him glory. Right? As I love Yeshua's words when he said, the work you've given me to do, I've done it. And then he could breathe his last and say, it is finished. That, you know what that means? That he did everything that God gave him to do. And that's what I want for us. Next slide. All right. Wait for it. As we read from Leviticus 19, and I'll read it again. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, you are to consider their fruit as forbidden. In Hebrew, the word is ola, means uncircumcised. So it's you can't have it just yet. 3 years it will be forbidden to you. It is not to be eaten. Then, in the fourth year, all its fruit will be holy for giving praise to Adonai. They were to bring it to the temple. In the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, so it will yield its increase to you. I am Adonai, your God. And interestingly, this isn't part of what's considered the holiness passage. It is not necessarily in the horticulture passage. Next slide. So young trees need time to grow. Now, I talked with one of our resident congregants who has quite a green thumb, and I did some looking online. And there's a practical reason for this besides the spiritual. The fact is, young trees, just like children, they need time to grow. They need to develop a big and strong root system that takes energy. It takes work. They need to use their energy in trunk and branch development. And they need proper nutrients, care, and protection. If in the beginning stages, they put all their work into producing fruit, they can't develop fully as trees. And you can think of this, compare this, for instance, when I used to do voice lessons, and I was talking with my teacher, he said, if you train young children, you have to be sensitive that their voices are still developing. If you push them too hard vocally, they can actually hurt their vocal cords because they're not fully mature. Or for instance, with children with lifting weights, when they're young, if you push them too hard, you'll stunt their growth. So this is the same thing applies to trees. They need time to develop. So yes, God wants us to grow at a certain pace and then give God the glory, but there's also a practical reason that this fruit will be the best it can be. Next. So during this process of the tree growing, it's not that you just leave the tree there. Say, all right, I'm going to wait for 3 years. I'll come back then. But that actually takes effort to make sure that it grows well. You're making room for the best fruit. That trees need to be pruned and thinned. And I was reading about one horticulturist saying that sometimes they even shake the tree and you see what fruit falls off. What does that mean? That fruit is weak. And you wanted to get it away. Why? So that you can have the best fruit. And sometimes you have to trim off or prune different branches that may not be bearing fruit, or even ones that are developing, you trim them back a little bit each time so that it can grow stronger. And this also means that we need to remove rotting fruit. If anybody has a fruit tree, you see that it just from the sun or from bugs or disease, if that fruit starts to rot, it can affect the other fruit. So you have to clean it off. And if you see the bottom picture with the big clump of, I think those are apples, sometimes they get so bunched together that you have to begin to prune away the in-between ones, thank you, so that there makes room for the other ones to grow at their fullest. If too many grow in one place, they won't fully develop. So you say, okay, well, this is great. I don't have trees. So what does this have to do to me? Next slide. The fact is we end up with a healthy, great fruit-producing tree, and it's worth the wait and effort. This is what a tree is supposed to look like, a deep, expansive root system with flourish, lots of green vegetation on top, and fruit all over. Okay, so we establish what trees look like. How does this pertain to us? This is what we're supposed to look like. Next. Now, we want to bear great fruit. Well, you know we're commanded to do so. Yeshua says in John 15:4, abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides in the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. So the first thing is, for nutrients, we have to be in Yeshua. We can't do it on our own strength. He says, goes on further in verse 8, in this my Father is glorified that you bear much or great fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The word here in Greek, palus, can mean many or much, but it can also be a qualitative verb or adverb meaning a great quality. So not just to bear a quantitatively large amount of fruit, but qualitatively, that our fruit is really good. For us, we need to be nurtured. We have to receive ministry, and we also have to be discipled. If you ever notice a tree, or a bush for that matter, when it's left to its own demise, the branches can get tangled. And if it doesn't have someone there to come and say, you know what, that branch is dying, you should cut it off. How could you say that? Because I want you to actually do better. We need that accountability and that ministry from somebody usually older, more experienced in the Lord, to help us grow. And to have somebody who's walked the walk longer than we have to come help us how to walk better. We need to have deep roots. What does that mean for us? That we have commitment and community. This community is not just someplace we come once a week. That we're committed to the people throughout the week, to a chavra, to an outreach, to prayer. That we're invested, that we sow our roots go deep into the soil. Because without deep roots, a tree can't grow to its fullest potential. We need proper nutrients. We need to spend time studying the word daily, to be committed to prayer individually, but also corporately. They're two different things. One doesn't substitute for the other. And we need to focus on great fruit. Now, many of us, we're all called to bear fruit. But we're all called to bear different fruit because we're different. And that whatever fruit that we do bear should be the best fruit that we can bear. And no one can produce all the fruit for everybody. But everybody has something to bear. That's important for us to know. And some of us may not know exactly what the fruit you produce is. You know, for my life, I went through many stages trying to figure out what kind of fruit should I bear. In college, in high school, I played sports, but then my mom said, you should get into singing. I said, ugh, I want to play sports. I'm glad she pushed me into it. I still love sports. But if she hadn't pushed me, I may not have never got into singing. I also studied, I really was intrigued by Einstein. So I read a lot of books and I got into astrophysics. I actually went into college to study astronomy. And then I looked, I said, I don't want to spend my life up in the middle of the night while everybody's sleeping. So I said, it's not for me. My professor was disappointed, but I knew that wasn't the fruit that I was supposed to bear. Then I didn't know what else to major in. I thought about English because I liked reading and writing. I considered philosophy. And then my grandfather said, well, you can have deep thoughts about being unemployed. I considered the Bible. I said, I really like it, but I didn't necessarily want to be a scholar. And eventually I got into music, and I pursued music as a career. But then even once I was into music, I said, I don't want to be on the road 10 months out of the year. So I don't know what to do. But I kept pursuing and looking and seeking. I got into teaching, and I enjoyed it. But there are some people who are made to teach, and I realized I'm not that person. I did it. In fact, sometimes you just need money. So you do what you have to do. But it wasn't really until here that I saw that this is everything coalesced. This is where I should be. This is where I bear the fruit that I'm supposed to bear. And then even in this process, I'm learning what fruit I should be responsible for and what other people should be responsible for. I can't bear all the fruit for everybody. And the fact is, we're all individual trees. You know, one of the interesting things you know about the word paradise, you know where it comes from? Pardes. You know what it means? It's a vineyard. It's an orchard. And what good is an orchard or a vineyard if it doesn't bear much fruit? You ever go by vineyards and you see the grapes all over them? It's beautiful. No one wants to go by a vineyard and say, hey, look, branches. You want to see fruit. Now, we all have something to bear. And what good is a fruit tree if nobody benefits from its fruit? The purpose, the joy of it, though, is actually when you see someone benefit from your fruit. It's one of the things I did love about teaching, for instance, when I taught special ed. And we had this one kid, and we said, will you come up, Jeremiah, to come read from the board? And he wouldn't move. He didn't speak. He said, what's the matter? I said, just read the words. Just try. And he broke down in tears and said, I can't read. And he left the room crying. So I went after him. I said, it's all right. Just you don't have to do it. Come back in. We spent all year helping him. And then towards the end of the year, we said, okay, who would like to read from the board? And he raised his hand. And he said, I will. And he read. And when he did, he started to literally jump and say, I did it. And I worked with another teacher, and we both were crying. I said, that's our fruit. It's a kid who can finally say, I can read. The joy on his face was priceless. It was worth all the year of this, all the stress. Because here's a kid who said, I can do it. And that's what we're supposed to be. In this place too, not just at work. What fruit can we give to this community? Which likewise ends up feeding the outside community. But we all have something to give. And if you don't know what it is, talk with people. Go to a chavara, see where you fit in. See what you can do. What can you add? Because the more fruit we bear, as we read, it says it gives God glory. And then it also, what's the purpose of fruit? Is to eat it. And you know what's great about fruit? Is that it actually tastes good. So when people benefit from it, but actually receive pleasure, and then outside they're looking for, they're starving. And you give them something that's not just it's filled with nutrients, but actually tastes good. My encouragement in all this is find what is your fruit. What can you bear? Are you bearing it? Are you sharing it? Does it need to get better? If so, how? Are you seeking out, or are you open to receiving care so that you can bear the most fruit so that God can receive glory? This is not guilt. Just being honest. Because when we do it, yeah, it takes some work. All right, what doesn't? But God gets glory from it. Yes, we can sing songs. We can attend service. But with that, we all have a specific fruit to bear. And when we do give it out, that God is glorified in it. So in this Tu B'Shvat, I encourage you this coming week to do some, think about it. You know, if you've ever tended to any trees or bushes, it takes time. You can't rush it. What should I cut off? What should I trim? Then you got to sweep it up. Then you look at it and you enjoy it. It takes time. So slow down. Take a minute. Look through these things. Talk with somebody you trust. Maybe even write it down in a journal. Pray. And ask God to show you, and He will. Because remember, humans were originally intended to be gardeners. So it's all part of us. And God will receive glory in all this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our individual gifts, our fruit that you've given within us. I pray it would help us develop each and every one here, that you would be glorified, and that Yeshua would be lifted up as the one who gives us the ability to bear fruit. Lord, it says that you have prepared good works for us in Messiah Yeshua, and this is exactly it. I pray we could just really enjoy and revel in the fruit that you've given us. And I pray for a joy, an expectant joy in each one here, that they could know that they have something to give, and that we would all benefit and be grateful for it, and to go outside and to bless others with what you've given us. Be glorified in all that we do and say, Father. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. Please rise for the